from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Caspick. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Caspick. I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes, Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. You can subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball on the brand new podcast app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also get in your car and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Giants Baseball. Coming up on today's show, we're going to discuss the game notes from yesterday's 1-0 win by the Giants over the Rockies. And then in the second segment, we're going to look at some overall season numbers for the Giants, especially in the defensive department. So you're not going to want to miss that. We're also going to talk about the upcoming schedule and an overall look at the 2019 schedule for the San Francisco Giants. But first, the game notes, and the first note I have is actually something that took place before the game, and it's the fact that Pablo Sandoval made a start over Evan Longoria, and I just thought it was interesting timing considering we said the same thing on the show yesterday, that maybe it was time to think about. And actually, I said it's probably not yet time to think about, but the fact is I kind of threw the idea out there that Longoria just has not played well. So I think it made sense to give him a day off and to have Sandoval in there. Although the thing is that, as we're going to see in the second half, Evan Longoria's defense is pretty darn good. So he probably should be in there over Sandoval every single day for the most part, despite the fact that the offense is troubling at this point. And the troubling thing with Longoria's offense is the fact that he's seemingly lost any plate discipline, and his on-base percentage projects to be like 300 at best, which is really a problem. But Sandoval in the early season was performing well in terms of results in the early season offensively, but those numbers were buoyed by some unsustainable things like the batting average on balls in play. And so as we saw last night, even an 0-for-4 game really brought everything back down to earth. And so I think moving forward, the offense might be similar between Pablo and Longoria. And by similar, I don't necessarily mean they're going to be the same exact type of offensive player, but they're both probably not well above average offensive players. So defensively, that's where you have to give the edge to Longoria. So that's why he'll continue to be out there, but maybe he just doesn't belong batting third or fourth or even fifth at this point until he proves that he can rebound offensively. So of course, the second note from this game is the fact that Jeff Samardzija pitched extremely well yesterday, and he certainly needed to, because one run is all the Giants were able to muster. It came on another Kevin Pillar home run. Unbelievable. But Samardzija, it was one of his best starts as a Giant. And, you know, how can we break that down? Well, we can look at, he got a lot of swinging strikes. I believe it was 14 swinging strikes. And so that rate of swinging strikes was 14.4%. So anytime the Rockies swung, they swung and missed 14.4% of the time, which is the fifth best swinging strike rate that Samardzija has put up as a San Francisco Giant. He didn't do that. He didn't best that percentage at any point last season, but, you know, last season was an injury-plagued season for Samardzija. But the last time he has had a swinging strike rate as good as it was last night was July of 2017, and before that, he only did it a handful of other times as a Giant. So it was definitely good to see from Samardzija. And one other point about him is that he has yet to give up a home run, and that is something that has kind of plagued him in his Giants career, is a tendency to give up home runs. So that has not happened. He's the only member of the starting rotation who hasn't given up a home run. And so, you know, he pitched brilliantly. So we need to tip our hat to him and also make mention of the fact that Andrew Baggerly had a piece in The Athletic this morning in which it wasn't really the topic of the article, but he casually mentions that the Giants have been telling him to, you know, previously Samardzija had just kind of established his fastball early in games and saved his secondary pitches for later in the game to try to go deep into a game, which we all know that is a big thing with Samardzija, is this mentality of starting pitchers going deep into games and, you know, pitching late and needing to unveil, you know, a wrinkle the third and fourth time through. But the Giants have been telling him, look, just go all out from the first inning and see what happens. And that is very much a modern mentality where you're not trying to just get your starters to go like 7-8 innings every time. And that has led to a lot of success for some guys. When they just go max effort for 5 innings, they can really turn their careers around a little bit. So it will be good to see if Samardzija can do that, just kind of try to blow people away with all of his pitches starting from the first inning. And as we have said several times on the show now, Samardzija's first inning ERA for his career is over 5. So it will be interesting to see if he can turn that around by being aggressive with all of his pitches early in games. It certainly worked yesterday, and he held the Rockies to no runs in 7 strong innings of work. So another interesting noteworthy point from this game was that in the 8th inning with 2 on and 2 out, I think it was runners on 2nd and 3rd with 2 outs, with Sandoval coming up, and again, he had started the game, and there was a lefty on the mound. I thought it was very strange, or suboptimal is probably the best way to put it, that Bochy did not bring in a pinch hitter. He kind of let Sandoval go up there to bat right-handed in a spot that they really could have used a big hit and an extra run or two in a 1-0 game in the bottom of the 8th inning. So you can pinch hit with Longoria there. They had Tyler Austin, the lefty killer, although there was a right-handed pitcher warming up in the bullpen. And then the more inexplicable thing was that, you know, so Bochy sends up Sandoval to go bat right-handed, which is by far his worst of the two sides, lefty or righty, and inexplicably Bud Black comes out and brings in the right-handed pitcher to turn Sandoval around to bat left-handed. So it was a strange decision by Bochy, but it was like 10 times more of a strange decision by Bud Black to bring in the righty to make Sandoval bat left-handed. It didn't end up burning the Rockies. Sandoval grounded out to end the inning. But it was just strange decisions all across the board there and worthy of a note. So the last thing I want to say about yesterday's game is that the Rockies right now, I mean, my goodness, they are struggling offensively. You think the Giants are struggling. The Rockies have been struggling almost twice as badly as the Giants have been. And the fact is that looking at the Colorado Rockies, they are actually reminding me a lot of the Giants in the last couple of seasons, where the depth on their roster is just very much not the greatest of depth. When you have Mark Reynolds and Chris Iannetta and Pat Valaika and Raimel Tapia, I mean, no offense to these guys, but this is exactly the type of situation the Giants recently had found themselves in 2017 and 2018, where you just have some holes on your roster where you're not getting very much value out of those spots. And you contrast it with what Farhan Zaidi has been able to do rather subtly and not to very little attention, but to just kind of plug in those gaps with Yonhervis Solarte, Kevin Pillar, Tyler Austin. Like, these are all guys who provide value in one way or another. And it's hard to like look at the Giants roster and see a spot where they're just incredibly weak, or a spot that is just kind of a black hole, or you just really don't know what you're going to get. And yes, you can say that early in the season, they definitely didn't, or at least most of us didn't know what they were going to get from Connor Joe and Michael Reed. But very quickly, those spots were taken up now by Kevin Pillar and Tyler Austin. And so Pillar offers the bat against left-handed pitching, and he did homer against a righty, it's worth saying, yesterday. And Tyler Austin offers the, you know, lefty killer approach as well. And I meant to mention that Pillar also provides the defensive value and the base running value. So anywhere you look on the Giants roster, everybody's providing some kind of value and has some kind of role to play where they can contribute in a meaningful way. And it kind of happened very subtly. And just looking at the Rockies and some of the players they put up there, you can see very strongly the resemblance to the Giants of recent seasons. Remember, to subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball, you can find us on the brand new podcast app Himalaya in an ever-expanding podcast world. You need Himalaya with their personally curated playlists and new features every day. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball. Coming up in the next segment, we're going to talk about the Giants' defense as a whole and how it ranks in some of these more advanced metrics. We're also going to look at the upcoming schedule and an overall look at the 2019 schedule for the San Francisco Giants. So you're not going to want to miss that. That's all coming up next. But first, we talk about baseball performance all the time on this show, but what about performance in the bedroom? That's right. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew is the first chewable with the same active FDA-approved ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know that they work. They can be taken anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Yes, I actually know someone who has tried this product and they have extremely positive things to report about its effectiveness. The best part about Blue Chew is that it's prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So there's no more visit to the doctor's office, waiting at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness around this topic. Blue Chew is made in the United States and prepares and shipped direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit www.bluechew.com and get your first shipment free when you use special promo code MLB. Just pay $5 for shipping. That's it. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code MLB, and try it. It's free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. Okay, so as promised, we're going to talk about a trend with the Giants that is very positive, and that is how their defense is rating early on in the season. And we're also going to talk about the schedule in this segment. But defensively, and this is something that, going back to what I said in the first segment, where the Giants suddenly don't seem to have these holes that they've had in recent seasons. It's not that, you know, they're missing star-level talent maybe offensively in some areas. You might like to have some greater offensive thump in some positions on the field. And, you know, third base is a concern. You know, you're tied up long-term to Evan Longoria, who seems to be having real difficulty offensively the last couple of years. But overall, you just look across the diamond and you look onto the bench and everybody has that value. And a lot of that value is coming defensively. You think about Belt and Posey and Panic, Crawford, Longoria, Pilar, Duggar, Parra, like, none of these guys is a liability defensively. If you're not going to hit much, at least be a good defensive player. And when we talk about defense, we're not talking about just fielding percentage. That is a very outdated approach to looking at fielding, because you can be, you know, you could be standing out there in left field and just sit on the grass and you might never make an error and have a fielding percentage of 1,000, but that doesn't mean you're a good defensive outfielder because you're sitting on the grass. So we look at things like ultimate zone rating, which is abbreviated UZR, and also defensive run saved. And looking at UZR, we also like to use UZR 150, which is taking your UZR and putting it on a rate basis. So how is your ultimate zone rating per 150 games played? So that's a good way to deal with it, because people have differences in the amount of innings they've played. So that sets everyone to the same 150 game baseline. And so it's a better way to kind of look at it. And so you can also apply all this to something called defensive rating on FanGraphs, and that is assigning the correct value to the different defensive positions. So if you're a good defensive first baseman, that is less valuable than a good defensive shortstop. And so defense rating actually like punishes you a little bit for just being a first baseman, as it should, because there are some positions on the field that just are more valuable defensively. But overall, pretty much wherever you look, whether it's defensive runs saved, UZR 150, or just overall defense, which again is just assigning the correct weight to the different positions, the Giants lead all of the National League in these categories. They're first in defensive rating, they're first in UZR 150, and they're first by a mile in defensive runs saved. They have 25 defensive runs saved. The next closest team is the St. Louis Cardinals with 12. So more than twice as many defensive runs saved for the San Francisco Giants over the next closest team in the National League. And breaking it down player by player, Buster Posey has been fantastic defensively in terms of framing and blocking and throwing. He has just looked really good back there in the early going. Crawford has been as strong as ever. Longoria has rated well defensively. Steven Duggar, especially in center field, which, you know, small sample is kind of maybe making his right field defense is not rating as well, but we can't. And I should say that all of this needs more time to become very reliable. But when you're across the board leading the league in all these different categories, you can pretty safely say they're a good defensive team. Whether they're the best by far is up for debate, but pretty clearly they're a strong defensive team. And that is one of those things that was kind of like a stereotype of the Giants, like, oh, they're just good at pitching and defense no matter what. They actually had not been. They've had some really lousy defensive center fielders in recent seasons. They've had some questionable defense from their corner outfield positions. Hunter Pence wasn't the defensive player he once was in recent seasons. You know, Michael Morse has played out there, Travis Ishikawa, Aubrey Huff, Pat Burrell. Like, they've not always had really strong defense out there, but right now they're strong pretty much across the board. Joe Panik has been rating well defensively. Eric Kratz, Kevin Pillar, like I said, everybody on this Giants team has been contributing defensively. And it helps out the starting pitchers. I've said a lot how the pitchers have been overperforming some of their peripherals, and that actually, we've mentioned a lot that that can happen from inducing weak contact, but it can also happen from having a good defensive team behind you, because, I mean, it makes all the sense in the world if, you know, they're putting the ball in play, but your defenders are making good catches. You can be outperforming the expected results because guys are stealing away outs. You know, doubles and triples are becoming outs when you have really good defensive outfielders like they do right now. So that's really a good sign, and it's a sign of things to come, because modern analytics isn't just about crunching numbers and getting guys with good on-base percentages and good strikeout-to-walk ratios. It's about extracting value anywhere you can, and defensive value is definitely something that gets overlooked a little bit, and it's not as simple as what's his fielding percentage. It's all about range and the ability to convert what would be hits and extra base hits into outs. And the Giants so far have done a good job at that. So in regards to the schedule, this is something I've been meaning to talk about for a while. The Giants, after they finish up this four-game series against the Rockies on Sunday, they'll have a day off, and then they head on a three-city East Coast road trip against the Nationals, Pirates, and Blue Jays. Then they come home and play the Yankees and the Dodgers, so that'll be a fun homestand next time. Then they have a day off and head back out on the road. But I'm not just going to go through the entire schedule, but the point I want to make is that I have reviewed the schedule, and it is a favorable schedule for the San Francisco Giants. And I don't necessarily mean this in terms of they're going to do really well this season because of the schedule. What I mean more so is that it's not really a brutal schedule, and the timing of the days off they have and the fact that they have several days off at home, like homestands broken up by days off. It happens many times this season. We've seen in recent seasons the Giants like not having a day off at home for like 2 months at a time, and having some brutal travel schedules, like a game in the East Coast, the day after having a night game like on the West Coast, just crazy stuff like that. It just seems to be a schedule that's not going to deflate them and wear them out completely like we have seen in seasons past. And I looked at the Dodgers schedule just as a comparison, and their schedule is brutal. Like, they have a lot of really tough road trips. Like, pretty much they don't have a single friendly road trip, something like that. I don't have it pulled up in front of me, but I did look, and their schedule is like 10 times more brutal. It's just nice to know that maybe the Giants will have better rest and not be completely dead tired after some of these trips. So that's good to see. You don't need these guys just totally beat up by the schedule, and it looks like the Giants will have something that's a little more manageable than it's been recently. So coming up tonight, the Giants take on the Colorado Rockies in Game 2 of this four-game series, with Chad Bettis on the mound facing off against Drew Pomeranz for the Giants. And then the Giants, of course, play two more games against the Rockies over the weekend. We will be back with an episode on Monday, and I cannot wait to be with you again at that time. Remember to subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball. You can find us on the brand new podcast app, Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. On this show, we provide daily episodes, Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. Once again, my name is Ben Kasbick. You can follow me on Twitter at @Cove_cast. I hope you liked today's show. If you did, please subscribe. Please consider leaving a review and telling your friends and family about this show. Can't wait to be with you again on Monday. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the Giants games. And until then, we'll see you next time.